your playhouse of favorites. How do you do? This is Robert Anthony Dean inviting you to your playhouse of favorites. Our favorite story for today is The Necklace. Our star, Betty Furness, as Mathilde Loisel. This is the story of a strange twist of fate that robs a woman of her youth and beauty, that makes her pay bitterly for one night of being Cinderella at the ball. It's a story that only de Maupassant could have told so well, and it bears the stamp of the master. In a moment, The Necklace. From its place on the shelf of immortal classics, we take down The Necklace and raise the curtain on a strange story of fate. Paris was always a glittering city, and the reflection of its gaiety has been able to obscure the poverty and the sordidness that is part of every great metropolis. Two men sit alone at their table in a crowded cafe. They're amusing themselves by analyzing some of the people around them, gathering impressions from a gesture, a look, or a manner.
You are being romantic, my friend.
Then what is your impression when you look upon that girl there in the corner? As Minister of Public Education, do you see the result of bad lessons?
As Minister, perhaps. But as a man, I see something else.
Well, tell me.
I see a young lady who is uneasy and self-conscious, whose wealth is no doubt all on her back, and whose glamour has something of a rented look about it.
That is a cruel realism, my dear minister.
Perhaps. But that is what I see, and, well, because she reminds me of someone else.
Another one whose glamour was all upon her back?
And about her throat.
Who was she?
Someone I once danced with. Someone I knew long ago and far away. Someone who, more than anyone I know, suffered that supreme blow.
And the blow?
The bitter irony of fate. Listen. It is early and an evening for stories anyway. Now drink your wine, my friend, and listen. Her name was Mathilde, and she was lovely, and she was charming, and she bore herself with an aristocratic air. There was about her an instinctive elegance. But beyond this, she had nothing more, for Mathilde was the daughter of poor working people, and in spite of all her splendid dreams, she married an equally poor clerk in one of my departments, one Armand Loisel. And Mathilde, as a wife, had neither lovely gowns nor jewels, nor had she the footman she dreamt of, or the gilded walls of a magnificent home. And these were the things she longed for most of all. This, the style of life she believed she'd been fashioned for. Armand was vaguely aware of this, and he did all he could to make her happy in their pinched world. But fate also marries with us when we take a bride. And one evening in a spring some 10 years ago, Armand came running up the stairs.
Mathilde! Mathilde! Mathilde, where are you, my dear?
In here.
Dark bedroom, but why?
I was looking from the window.
There's nothing to see, only a brick wall.
What if it is? Can't I look?
What? I have something else for you to look at, my dear. In my jacket pocket. Can you guess what it is?
How can I?
Try. Only try, Mathilde. It's small, white, and square. It holds a most brilliant world.
But...
You can't guess?
No.
Well, my dear, then, look. An invitation.
An invitation? To what?
To a most brilliant affair, a gathering of the finest and the richest. Listen. The Minister of Public Education asks the honor of Monsieur and Madame Loisel's company Monday evening at the Minister's residence. There, what do you think of that?
What should I think of it?
But doesn't this make you happy? I went to a great deal of trouble to get it.
Then you wasted your time, Armand.
I don't understand. The whole official world will be there. It'll be brilliant. Don't you want to go?
No.
But why?
Because what shall I wear? Tell me. What clothes has the wife of a poor clerk to wear?
Mathilde.
Yes?
How much would a new gown cost? A simple one.
How can I tell offhand?
Oh, try, Mathilde. You've been so silent and cold all evening.
I cannot tell exactly, but... Well, I should think 400 francs would cover it.
What?
Well, you asked me. It cannot be done cheaper. And anyway, I will not go with a gown less fine than what the others might wear.
But 400 francs...
Then why did you ask me? If it's impossible, don't ask me stupid questions. And let me be. Let me be.
Oh, Mathilde.
What did you think? I would go gladly in anything and bear the shame, the contempt of their fat wives. Have you a heart of stone? Have you no feelings?
Mathilde, my darling.
Oh, I wish I'd never seen you. Never. I wasn't meant for this.
But my dearest...
Have I less looks or charm or wit than a minister's wife? Won't jewels fit my arms as well as theirs? Why should I be punished with this poverty? Why? Why? Why?
Mathilde.
Go away.
Mathilde. Very well, then. I'll give you 400 francs. Get a pretty dress, Mathilde. A very pretty dress for the ball.
And Armand gave her the only 400 francs he had in the world. And Mathilde found a dressmaker. And with visions in her mind of a coming splendor, Mathilde watched with eagerness the dress take shape. But as the day of the affair drew nearer, Mathilde showed signs of sadness. And Armand grew aware that something was still wrong.
Mathilde, what's the matter?
I cannot go, Armand. I have no jewel, no single stone to adorn myself with. How can I go without a jewel?
Jewels cost more money than a poor clerk. Mathilde!
What is it?
How stupid of me, of course. Your friend, that Madame Forestier. They were great friends at one time, and she's rich and she has jewels. Go find her, Mathilde. She'll lend you some of that, I'm absolutely sure.
A jewel, Mathilde? Why, of course. You may borrow whatever you choose.
How shall I thank you, Jeanne?
Save your thanks for strangers. Here is the box. Choose what you will, my dear.
Oh, how they sparkle against the velvet, Jeanne. This bracelet, let me try it on. No, that is not it. The one thing that will make a jewel of all of me. This color of pearls, perhaps. Oh, it's like a fire, Jean. Like a living fire.
Here, let me put it on you. Now, look at yourself in the mirror.
Oh, it's like nothing I've ever seen. This, Jean, this necklace is what I must wear.
And Mathilde took the necklace home and she stood before the mirror staring at herself with a necklace at her throat. And she fancied herself magnificent. Her brain teemed with visions of herself at the ball.
I shall put them all to shame. All to shame.
Necklace is beautiful, Mathilde.
They're like a trapped flame. Armand, they glow and... I feel they're glowing on my throat.
They must be worth a fortune. Madame Forestier is generous.
Oh, I do not doubt they must be worth a fortune.
I see it all now. Ministers and officials will all lose their heads over my wife. Mine, Armand Loisel, a clerk in their office.
That's as it should be. Let them lose their heads.
But you must be careful of the necklace, Mathilde.
I will. Oh, Armand, I am happy, happy. It's like a dream that's suddenly come true.
I shall not forget the throng that gathered at my house that night. The ballroom glittered with crystal lights and jewels and richly colored gowns. And most brilliant of all was Mathilde Loisel. She sparkled with vivacity. She was alive, electric. Her wit and charm found hundreds of admiring glances. She was a stunning success, and she danced with an intensity of joy. And we all, even I, were completely bewitched by her.
You flatter me, my dear minister.
But it is true, Madame Loisel. I have rarely danced with so charming a partner.
And I have rarely danced with so gracious a man. But I could dance like this for days.
And if I were younger, so would I.
Life should always be like this, monsieur. Brilliant, glittering with adventure and excitement.
As glowing as that necklace at your throat.
As full of flame as that.
Ah, but life is not all brilliance, madame. Later on, these lights will go out and there'll be nothing but a bleak, empty hall.
I will not think of that.
And tomorrow will only hold a memory of this night.
And neither will I think of that. I feel that fate and fortune ride a powerful steed tonight, my dear minister. I can hear it at my back. The hoofbeats fill my ears.
Fate is not always a friend, madame.
Monsieur, I feel he is my lover tonight.
And Madame Loisel's night of splendor danced on. Until the pale hours of dawn, her glory and her triumph lasted. And then the guests began to leave. And the music ended, and it was time to say farewell. Mathilde's brain still teemed with excitement when they left. After some difficulty, her husband found a cab, and through the still, sleeping city, they clattered home. Armand was half asleep as he paid the driver and began the climb up to their rooms. But not Mathilde. Upon entering her apartment, she lit the lamps and stood before a mirror, staring intently at her flushed face and bright eyes.
What are you staring at, Mathilde?
Myself.
It's late. Hey, I can hardly stand up.
Then go to bed.
Yeah. Sleep like the dead themselves. Aren't you coming?
No. No, you go to bed yourself.
But...
Will you go? I can't sleep. My mind's on fire. I'm as wide awake as a young girl on Carnival Eve.
It's the wine. As soon as you lie down, you'll see that...
It's not the wine. I don't want to sleep.
How do you know if you won't?
Can't you understand anything? Do I have to explain everything? I feel as if something immense happened tonight. As if a curtain will rise at any instant upon a staggering event.
Are you well, Mathilde?
Well, I have only just been born. I'm brand new. I've just been created.
Mathilde, you're feverish. Take off your cape here. Now, let me take it.
Take it off and look. Look at me. I'm young and triumphantly alive at last. Gowns make me look lovely. Jewels can...
Mathilde, what is it?
Jewels. Jewels.
Mathilde.
The necklace. The necklace, Armand. It's gone.
The curtain falls on Act One of The Necklace, a presentation of your Playhouse of Favorites. The Necklace. The curtain rises on Act Two. Fate has set its trap and is ready to spring it. An unreasonable whim, a capricious urge, and a private world topples as a penalty is paid. And now for Act Two of The Necklace, starring Betty Furness as Mathilde. The Minister of Public Education goes on with his story.
An imagined world is always an unconquered empire, and passions are not the only weapons that win it. And passions were the only weapons of Mathilde Loisel. In that moment when they realized the necklace was gone, their hearts squeezed, and for a wild moment they stared at one another in shocked terror. The necklace, the borrowed fortune that Mathilde had worn as if it were the ravishing center of the world, was gone. And when they both sprang back to motion, panic gripped them. It must be in a cab, Balmont cried, and he dashed out into the dawn quiet streets. And Mathilde, poor, stunned Mathilde, sat in the apartment in her exquisite gown like some pathetic queen amongst the crumbled ruins of her world. In an hour, Armand returned. Dumbly, Mathilde stared at him. As if in pain, Armand shook his head.
No. No, Mathilde. No.
You could not find the cab.
I ran back to way we came. Streets are empty. Nothing is moving. It's vanished.
What shall I do, Armand?
How could it have happened? Did you examine your cape?
It's not there, Armand. I had the necklace when I left the ball. I'm sure of it. I felt it under my cape. I fingered it.
Must have been the clasp.
But I danced all night, Armand, and it didn't come undone.
But it must have. How else could you have lost it?
I don't know. I don't know.
When it's daylight, I will go to the police. There is a chance. And then I will put notices in the papers. Oh, pray God that it is returned, for it's a fortune, Mathilde, a fortune that is gone.
And Madame Forestier, what shall I do about her?
We'll send her a note, Mathilde. For the moment, what else is there to do? Write, Mathilde. To Madame Forestier. My dear Jeanne, I am sorry, but you will understand, I'm sure. The clasp on the necklace I borrowed has become loose, and I am having it repaired. Forgive me, but I will bring it to you soon.
And a week of anxious waiting went by, but the world was dumb. No answer came from anyone. The new gown Mathilde had worn to the ball hung like a bitter heirloom of a world slipped from her hand. At the end of the week, Armand came to a decision.
It will not be returned, Mathilde. I'm sure of it now.
Then what shall I do, Armand? Help me. What shall I do?
What honest people would do, my dear.
Yes?
We must make restitution. We must secure another necklace for Madame Forestier.
Another necklace?
Aye, one that resembles the other.
But...
I know, Mathilde. I know. Money. What shall we do for money? I don't know, my dear. Or, I suppose. Somehow we must do it.
Armand, go. Leave me with this burden. Go.
Look at me, Mathilde. Don't cry. Why do you think I stay with you? Why?
I don't know, Armand. I don't know.
I love you, my dear. Without you, I would be aimless. Without you, I would be a terribly lonely man.
Oh, so this necklace does not please you, monsieur?
No, I'm looking for a certain kind, monsieur. I saw it once many years ago. One with an old-fashioned clasp.
Well, I have a few with that kind of clasp. One moment, Sir, please.
It's hopeless, Armand. We've been in a dozen stores.
Patience, my dear. We will find one. Wait and see.
I have only three of them, monsieur. Here, let me spread them out on the counter for you.
Armand!
Oh, Madame recognizes what she's looking for. This one. A truly lovely string of pearls. May I congratulate Madame Stays?
The clasp is...
An old-fashioned one, monsieur. Look.
It's like a twin, Armand. For a moment, I thought...
You thought what, madame?
This is what we're looking for, monsieur. Is it expensive?
Oh, not if it is value and quality you desire, monsieur.
How much is it?
40,000 francs. It is too much. Well, because it caught Madame's fancy, because she is taken with it, I will reduce it somewhat.
How much?
You may have it, monsieur, for 36,000 francs. And at that, it is a real bargain.
And what security can you offer me, monsieur?
I earn a weekly salary.
You will permit me to garnish it in part, then?
Yes.
Then sign here.
From friend, from stranger, from relative, Armand borrowed. And bit by bit, the amount grew. Until one bright morning, some 10 days after Mathilde lost the necklace, Monsieur and Madame Loiselle appeared once again in a jeweler's shop with 36,000 francs to purchase the necklace. And as they went home, the tremendous burden they had laid upon their lives was forgotten in another worry, a fear of Madame Forestier. Would she notice the substitution? Perhaps hers had been even more expensive.
If you will come this way, mademoiselle.
How is Madame Forestier?
She has a slight headache, madame.
Who is it?
Madame Loiselle to see you, madame.
Oh, Mathilde.
Good day, Jeanne.
Good day.
You got our note, Jeanne, about the necklace?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but...
Have you the necklace?
Yes. Here it is.
You might have gotten it back to me sooner. I might have wished to wear it. After all...
I'm sorry, Jeanne, but the clasp...
I hope the jeweler did a decent enough job. So much wrapping paper upon it. Well, one would think... Mathilde, what's the matter?
Nothing.
You've gone as white as a ghost. Jacques! Jacques! Some wine, instantly. Sit down, Mathilde. You look so ill.
I brought some sherry, madame.
Give it here. Come now. drink all of it. There. There. Now, don't you feel better?
Yes.
Mademoiselle dropped her package.
Package? Oh, that's mine. Just throw it in that drawer over there, Jacques. This is no time for packages.
And so the substitute necklace was returned without Madame Forestier discovering it. And Mathilde entered a new existence, drab, bleak, as flat as a rocky, struggling land. For the world waiting for Mathilde was burdened with the enormous weight of 36,000 francs. An overwhelming debt was the fruit of her dreams and romantic passions. And Mathilde's charm and looks were all to be ground under by it. And the payments came due each week, each month, each year. The relative, the stranger, the banker, politely but firmly appeared for their share of the Loiselle's income. Armand grew thin, and his clothes grew frayed and patched. A sou here, a sou there, paid the banker. And Madame Loiselle, charming, elegant Mathilde, grew heavy and ill-kempt. She dressed like a fishwife now. She spoke loudly and hoarsely. None would dream that Madame Loiselle, the hard, rough woman who lived in the upstairs garret, once wore an exquisite gown danced with the official great. None would have dreamt it. None but Mathilde Loiselle.
What might have happened? What?
Huh? What are you muttering about, Mathilde?
Nothing, Armand. Nothing.
Oh, I thought I heard you talking.
If I had not lost the necklace, who knows? They admired me. They crowded to dance with me. The women had envy written all over their faces. A new world had begun.
What?
Nothing, Armand. Who knows what might have been? A little thing, an accident, and a whole life ruined. And so much loss. So much forever lost.
But Mathilde had no idea just what she had lost. No idea until a spring day some 10 years after the necklace disappeared. Even mountains are worn down, and in those 10 years the mountainous debt of the Loiselles had been wiped away. And upon that spring day, Madame Loiselle, looking old beyond her years, walked along the Champs-Élysées. An attractive woman with a child was approaching her. It was Madame Jeanne Forestier.
Jeanne. Madame, I beg your pardon, but I do not know you.
Jeanne, it is I, Mathilde. Mathilde Loiselle, Jeanne.
Mathilde Loiselle? No. No, it can't be. What has life done to you, Mathilde? You are so changed.
What did you expect after the struggling times we've had? Fine airs and graces?
But, my dear old friend, it's been only 10 years. 10 short years.
No, Jeanne. 10 endless years. Of pinch and poverty. Of back-breaking drudgery.
But how? Why?
We got into debt. That's all. We got into debt.
My poor Mathilde. How dreadful.
Yes, Jeanne. And ironic. For here you are, lovelier than ever, while I'm old and drab.
Please. You talk as if it were my fault.
Your fault? No. But all the same, you were responsible. In a way, it was all because of you.
But how? Tell me. How because of me?
Once I borrowed your necklace, a long, long time ago. Do you remember?
I think so. The Minister of Public Education gave a ball. That was when...
Yes, that was when it all began. 10 short years ago, as you said. But I lost the necklace I borrowed from you, and we bought a new one to replace it. And the debt we incurred. Paying it off is what's made an old woman of me.
But that's not possible.
Look at me. You'll see that it is possible.
No, I mean, how much did you pay for the new one?
36,000 francs. And we've paid it back every cent.
Oh, no, Mathilde. Oh, didn't you know? The ones you borrowed were paste. Paste. And not worth over 500 francs.
In that moment, the world of Mathilde Loisel crumbled to heartbreaking bits. For the past was proved to be a vast futility, while the future could only be an infinity of painful awareness of what might have been.
A tragic tale indeed.
And that girl in the corner, she is too much like the lovely Mathilde of the ball.
But for the grace of God...
My friend, somewhere it is written that he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. And it is further written that every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her own hands.
And so the curtain falls on Guy de Maupassant's The Necklace, presented by your Playhouse of Favorites. This is Robert Anthony Dean, reminding you that front row seats are reserved for you the next time our curtain rises on another romantic classic, presented for your favorite listening pleasure by your Playhouse of Favorites.